All right. Welcome back to another episode of Everyday Ecclesiology. Today, well, I'm Daniel Greenhall, and today my wife Desiree is not here and has been replaced, not replaced in my life, but replaced on the show with a guest. Would you like to introduce yourself? I said I'd intro you, but I didn't say I'd introduce you.
Oh, good one. Yeah, my name is Paul Schmidt. I'm a friend of the podcast, I guess.
Yeah, friend of the podcast. I've known you since, oh wait, I should start. And our goal in this podcast, I forgot that, is to explore what it looks like for laymen within the church to be faithful members of one another, or for the body to build itself up in love. Or in this case, we're looking more specifically at something different, but we'll get to that in a minute, right? So I know you from, what, my freshman year, your sophomore year of college?
Yep.
Introduced through a mutual friend, right?
Yeah, we were introduced, I think, at one point, but then we just kind of ran into each other.
Yeah, we were both in the orchestra.
Yeah.
In the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
Through Jason Stalkup. Because you were roommates with Jason that year, weren't you?
Yes,
oh, no.
I was.
Or was that your junior year?
No, I was roommates with Jason my sophomore year.
Okay.
But the first time I remember actually talking to you was in the dorms. You were filling out an application to be in the music program.
Oh,
you were going
to
be a music minor.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
thought I was. And I realized I hadn't filled out the application.
Oh, okay.
The music department was a little less organized at that point.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
And I knew your name was Daniel Green something.
Yeah, it was the green one. Greenhorn.
Yes,
green face.
Well, I started calling you Greenhorn because you were the new guy around,
yep.
So.
Yep. And then orchestra, you weren't in chorale. That's not for the better or for the worse. That just is. but orchestra, which I only did for 1 year, and then in the dorms, and then same church.
Was it only for 1 year you were in the orchestra?
I think it was only one.
Hmm.
Because freshman year.
Must have been a long year then.
Maybe I did. No, I think I did freshman and sophomore. And then junior, I just did chorale. I know I dropped orchestra before chorale. And right. then I know I didn't do chorale senior year when I was married.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was either 1 or 2 years in orchestra. It was probably 2.
I think so.
Yeah, because Desiree was still in orchestra.
Her second year?
Yeah, but would... I don't remember. I'll text Desiree. She's upstairs, but I'll text her anyway.
Regardless.
Yeah, it probably doesn't matter. But and then going to the same church. You were already at Grandview.
Yep, Grandview Park Christian... No, Grandview Park Christian
School. Not the school.
Grandview Park Baptist Church.
Yep, Grandview Park Baptist Church. I came... pretty quickly after going to Anchor. Nope. Pretty quickly after coming to Faith Baptist Bible College. There we go. And ran into you even more there. We helped out in kids' classes.
Yep.
Served in church together, basically. And then we're still there. Only we're at Anchor now because it's different.
Well, and then we worked for a while at the same place.
Oh, that's right. We both worked at PDI.
Yeah.
I don't know how I forgot about that, but yeah, we did both work there. Well, I did something like work. I was in the office. It was a little different.
Yeah.
You
had to see our cold faces all the time.
Yeah, at my window. And then now he and his wife are family friends, still going to our church.
Yep.
So that's Paul. But, well, before we get into what's actually on the podcast, what's new with you? There's a lot. You can share literally whatever you want because you don't have to worry about what did I share last week.
That is true. Let's see.
Maybe I should ask specifically, what's going on in your life right now? What are some fun events you might want to share, things you've gotten to do or opportunities you've had, whether local church related or just fun related? Sometimes I share about getting a new car, which isn't specifically a local church thing. It's not unrelated from our local church thing because everything is related.
That is true.
But it's not specifically trying to be a local church thing.
Right. So this spring, I kind of graduated. I never fully graduated. I just only kind of graduated.
Same, though. I still have a paper.
Yeah.
I got to get that done. I really do. I think I've said that before.
Yeah, you should talk to the professor. And
One of the professors is no longer there, so that's going to be tough. He's now a pastor at a church in the area, a youth pastor, or...
Oh.
He was only there for like a year or two.
Right, you still have homework for that class as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Lovely.
So that might be a retake.
Hmm.
We'll see what we can do about that. But the other one, I know I could talk to that professor and get it figured out.
Right.
We'll get there. Yep,
that'd be good.
Maybe we can both actually graduate.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so I did finally get my bachelor's done a couple years ago.
Oh, okay, so you're ahead of me there. You're right. Officially a bachelor, except you're not.
Yes, yes, I am married. But I walked in a graduation ceremony for my master's.
Okay.
But I just had one class left to take.
Okay.
And I actually, for that class, I only have one paper left to write.
Okay.
And that's due in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
So hopefully I actually get that paper done.
Yeah, don't be like me. Actually graduate.
Yeah, I hate papers. Yeah. With a passion. This one's not going to be easy. So hopefully we'll get that done. Jamie, my wife, and I went to family camp at Baptist camp.
It's your second year now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Got to do some music stuff. We stayed up late a whole bunch around the campfire.
Okay. What was more of a peppy song that you guys ended up playing that you played a different instrument for?
Oh, Lift High the Name of Jesus.
Yes. What song did you play?
What
instrument? No, what instrument?
I played the banjo for that one.
It was banjo?
It was banjo.
Didn't you also get a new instrument?
I did get a new instrument, but I didn't play it for that song.
Okay. What instrument was it?
I recently got an acoustic electric mandolin.
Mandolin. Okay. Yes. And what did you play that one for?
I don't remember which songs I played that one for, but that one, I didn't really play on any peppy songs. I mostly played some kind of a counter melody, kind of whatever I wanted.
Okay. Yeah.
Slightly less peppier songs.
Okay.
Ones that, Michael knew better, so he could, play strongly on the
guitar. Oh, was he on the guitar?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yep.
That makes sense.
And then, So, we got to do that. And then right now, I'm looking forward to, like I said, getting this paper done.
Yeah.
I preach in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's right. At our church, right?
Yes. Yep. The 7th of August, I think.
I think that's right. I remember seeing it on the cable.
Yeah. And so far, it's basically only one verse. So we'll see how that goes.
It's not the first time.
Well, it'll be the first time for me preaching on only one
verse. Well, yeah. But it's not like you're... Sometimes a verse takes explaining. It's true.
That is true. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Is
it within the same series we've been working on?
Yes.
Okay.
So worst case scenario, we just get done in 15 or 20 minutes and get to fellowship longer.
Yeah. That's not bad. I remember thinking that a lot when I was preaching during my internship. I was like, well, what's the worst that happens? We get to food faster? That's fine.
I guess that works.
Yep.
And then we're looking forward to the birth of our first child
in
probably in August, but we will see.
Yeah.
I mean,
early's just fine, right?
Yep. We'd be fine with that.
Yep.
So at this point, I think she's almost to 36 weeks. She's at like 35 and a half weeks.
Okay.
So,
yeah. So anytime the baby would probably be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Preferably getting to 38, but I say that like I've been there a ton. Only been twice. And it wasn't me. It was just my wife.
Two more times than we've been there.
That's true. That's true. Let's see. I've had a couple opportunities for very like informal, sometimes formal discipleship. It was never like labeled as, hey, we're going to do discipleship, but it was, me getting together with some people and saying, hey, can we talk about this? It ended up being 1.3-hour conversation talking about, the main tenets of a church. What makes a church? What is a healthy church? What is an unhealthy church? Looking objectively at a church, trying to understand the hearts of the people, because the church is made up of people. So the health of a church will be very closely tied to the health of the people within that church. But that was one of them. Another one was just went disc golfing with a guy and ended up chatting afterwards for like an hour and a half. It's another Christian guy about local church things.
Yeah. Do you recall Dr. Newman's definition of counseling?
Yeah. You're always counseling.
Yes, you're always counseling. It's discipleship in the details.
Yeah. And that's why I've said before, and I got to go to the Men and Boys Campout that our church does. And one of the things I mentioned was that sometimes discipleship can look like disc golf. I mean, if I just go to a disc golf course and play around by myself and don't talk to anybody and come back home, that's not probably being discipled. It's for sure not, if that's all the details I know about it. But if I go with somebody else and we're playing, we have 18 holes to play. That's probably with somebody else, like an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on how fast you play and how good you are. But there's a lot of time in there you can talk and you can ask questions about life. and chat about the local church and about being a husband and a father. Or if I'm with my wife, then we can, I wouldn't firstly frame time with my wife as discipleship, but that doesn't mean it isn't that.
Mm-hmm.
It can be that.
Absolutely.
But that's not how I firstly frame it every time.
Mm-hmm.
But spending time with someone else and intentionally talking about Christ, scripture, spiritual things, broadly speaking. You can't see my air quotes I'm making with my claw hands, but that's what I'm doing. It is a form of discipleship. It's not the sum total of discipleship,
mm-hmm.
but it is a larger part, usually, than even just what we typically think of, or what a lot of people typically think of sitting down once a week, confessing your sins to one another that you can continually keep committing and trying to fix that, and mm-hmm. reading a book together and going through it, which those aren't unnecessary things.
Right.
Talking with someone else about issues in your life is helpful. Going through a book of the Bible, another book that points you back to scripture, those are helpful things. And doing that consistently with an older man and doing it consistently as an older man with a younger man are helpful things, important things. But those aren't always the discipleship opportunities that make the most difference.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just inviting someone over for dinner and chatting about a church, mm-hmm. chatting about a book that you both read, or going to play disc golf. And being intentional about, hey, I have a question about this, or hey, have you thought about this, or hey, I got this going on, I don't know how to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helpful. As other people have put it, I think Pete Tilley put it one time, or President Tillotson, he's still president, right?
Yes.
Okay, I assume so. I hadn't heard otherwise. I got nervous for a minute. Sometimes it can look like replacing a water heater.
Mm-hmm.
You go over, and then guys typically ask questions at times like that. Well, not always, but it's more likely than, and it's more helpful sometimes because it's more relaxed. And you're not worried about, I don't know, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing life together, but specifics to doing life together. So I've had a couple of those opportunities, and they were fun, including at the Men and Boys Camp Out. I was able to speak there and talk to the guys about Titus 2, older men teaching younger men. And also in there, the requirements for older men, they're to be this, 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 and this, but the younger men, they're just to be self-controlled.
Yep.
That's it. There's just one thing. Just do this, and you'll be fine. But then also, if you're like, oh, I've got this down. Well, for one, you should talk to an older man about that and see if you actually really do.
Mm-hmm.
But for two, cool. Shoot for all the older man qualifications. You're going to be there eventually, right?
Yep.
And if you got those down, you don't. But if you got those down, cool. Shoot for pastoral qualifications. Not that you necessarily need to be one, but if you are called to be one, you need to meet those qualifications. And if you're not, well, there's still qualifications that you should meet anyway.
Yeah. And self-control is a good way.
Yes.
Gets you well on your way.
It's foundational to all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I didn't actually pull out the list and look, but I'd be willing to bet it is.
I
could be wrong. Speaking of which, what are we actually chatting about today?
So the topic I was given was the call to ministry, which I don't know that I'm
the foremost authority.
Yes, I'm not the most qualified person to be chatting about this.
I'll tell you what, though, if I sat someone down and said that, and they said they were the most qualified authority, I'd kick them off. So
you'd actually kick them off?
Yeah. I mean, I probably wouldn't have invited them in the first place if they had that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
Unless they were saying it jokingly. If you're talking in jest, that's one thing. But if someone's like, yeah, I am the foremost authority on the call to ministry, I'd be like, eh, probably not.
Yeah.
Thanks, but no thanks.
And honestly, I'd say you and I are about equal as far as it goes. We've both worked through some of the same things.
You're more recently in this, though, I think.
I suppose.
Ooh, hopefully you didn't hear my stomach growling on mic. Oh, boy.
You're a little hungry, too?
I didn't have lunch. Well, I got back from disc golfing today, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Played a new course. Got back at like 2:15, showered, cleaned up, and had some Mountain Dew. So, yeah. Nope, didn't have lunch. But I had a breakfast burrito and a muffin for breakfast, though.
Oh, well,
like a homemade breakfast burrito, bacon, egg, potato, cheese, hot sauce, and ranch. It was good. Anyway, yes, call to ministry. So there are lots of ways you can take this. If you take it the scriptural way, then there isn't actually a call to ministry, right?
Yep. That's kind of a provocative little nugget there. But yeah.
So if we started at, okay, let's look at all the passages that talk about someone being called to ministry. Well, I mean, you could look at Paul, but you wouldn't hear the phrase call to ministry, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you would see the physical calling.
God saying, hey, go do this.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you persecuting me? Yeah. But there's not like a time where scripture is like, hey, where Paul's like, hey, Timothy, this is what it meant when you were called to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you tell other people about call to ministry. Paul doesn't really do that.
And he doesn't really even discuss it in those terms as a call to ministry. There's also the call to salvation, which is kind of the important one there.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, there's no passage that talks about a call to ministry.
So where would you start with someone who's like, hey, I'm thinking about pastoral ministry? I know there's a lot of things you could do with that, and you'd probably start with like qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
But someone's like, I think I'm called to ministry. What questions are you gonna ask them? Or what's gonna be your response when someone's like, hey, I wonder if I am, or I think I'm called to ministry, or something like that?
Well, you can affirm them in 1 Timothy 3, where he says that the person that's aspiring to that, that is a good desire.
Yes. Yep. I do remember a pastor back home telling me that, actually.
Yeah. And so that is a good thing to be aspiring toward. And actually, a book that has been very formative for my view on this recently, it's a book by Bobby Jameson.
He's been on the podcast before as a guest.
Yes, I was going to say he's kind of a friend of the podcast as well, kind of unofficially.
As we were chatting beforehand, I was like, anything with the IX on it for 9 marks is usually at least 80% helpful.
Yes.
And Bobby Jameson writes for 9 marks.
Yep. Yep. He's kind of, he's in an interesting position as well.
Okay.
Where he has never actually been a senior pastor.
Okay.
So he's writing a book called, here, just a second.
Yeah, go for it. I'm pulling up my, I forgot to bring a physical Bible down with me. Usually I'm good and remember, but I had to pull up a digital copy.
Mm. Thanks the Lord for those.
Yeah, right.
It's called The Path to Being a Pastor.
Okay.
By Bobby Jameson.
Okay.
It's a little subtitle there, A Guide for the Aspiring. But this has been very formative in my understanding. And he thinks we should use the term aspire rather than call.
I mean, that's the term that's used in the text of Scripture, right?
Right.
If someone aspires to the work of overseer. Mm-hmm. Now, the text says overseer, right?
Yeah. So,
we don't.
I almost brought my Greek New Testament and I could have pulled out the Greek word for you.
That's okay. But we don't have to delve into this, but we would broadly see that pastor and shepherd are different translations of the same word, right?
Yes.
And then pastor, elder, and bishop would all be interchangeable terms?
Yes, they all get used in the same passage.
To refer to like different hats of the same office, different aspects of the same office?
Yes. And some of them are kind of used in their verb term. So, you know, shepherd the flock of God.
Kind of like in Acts 2, where we don't see the word deacons. We don't see that they elected deacons. We elected people to deacon, to serve tables. We saw the verb form of the word. Same concept.
Exactly. Yes. And that's been something you've been talking about on the podcast recently.
Yeah.
I still have yet to listen to the full episode. I was listening to it today.
Oh, actually. Yeah. We just released the remastered Christmas episode last week.
Yes.
I finally fixed the audio.
It sounded great.
It's a lot better.
Yeah.
I found out, this is a quick side note while you're getting that pulled up. Mm-hmm. I found out that, well, the issue I was having was because I recorded on two different devices, they keep time slightly differently.
Yeah.
So one recording was a slightly different time length than the other. I didn't know that I could just take one and stretch it. There's literally a function that says stretch, and you can stretch it without changing like pitch of people's voices too. I was like, well, I wish I'd have known about that a year and a half ago.
Didn't you work on that for a couple hours trying to get it right?
Yeah, it was not fun. So that's up. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that last week.
Yeah, that was sounding great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the word here is episcopate.
Episcopate. So like Episcopal Church?
Yeah. So it's that idea.
I thought it was episcopal.
Overseer. So they have, the word here is overseer.
Okay.
This particular, it's a interlinear.
Okay.
Is saying overseership.
Okay. Yeah. Like an office.
Yeah. So, okay. You'd have overseer, is from episcopate. The other one is presbyteros, which has the idea of elder.
Yep.
So,
which is where we find our Presbyterian church.
Yes, name. They have elders.
Yes. Or presbyters? Presbyters?
Presbyters.
I thought that was an office.
Something kind of like that.
Okay.
I haven't delved too deeply
maybe
into
maybe I should be careful how far
Presbyterian denomination.
Yep. And then bishop. Is that presbyter?
I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember what bishop comes from.
I think bishop is from overseer.
Okay.
Yep, yeah, so that'd be from Episcopi.
Yeah, broadly speaking, we'd see all three of those terms as different aspects of the same office,
mm-hmm.
interchangeable for the same office. Like, it would be proper for us to call our pastor elder, or for us to call our elder bishop, but we just typically in our circles use the word pastor. Mm-hmm. And that's not without reason, but it's not wrong to see that they're all three.
Right.
Anyway, so that passage, he says he, instead of using the term call to ministry, he's using the term aspire.
Aspire.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. So the question was,
somebody comes up and is thinking about call to ministry, thinking of a pastoral ministry, thinks they're called, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you going to start?
So of course, affirming that that's a good thing, but then,
mm-hmm.
In that passage, there are also, qualifications.
Okay.
For pastoral ministry. And so,
like, what qualifications? Which passage are we looking at? Is this 2 Timothy?
First Timothy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew I should have brought it on a physical Bible. It's okay. At least this way you can't hear the pages turning. Maybe you like that. 1 Timothy 2:1. 1 Timothy 3.
1 Timothy 3.
Verse 1. This mm-hmm. saying is trustworthy. I have ESV up. What do you have up?
I've got the interlinear, so it's not a true translation.
Okay. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, that's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. We could touch on that if we wanted to. Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, and with all dignity keep his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Ooh, we have a excited kid upstairs. So you'd start with those.
Yes.
Which that's a tall order.
That is a tall order, even talking to our own pastor.
Yeah.
And our the Bishop of Iowa.
Yeah.
Pastor Tim Capon. He's not actually a bishop.
Yep.
In the common use of the term. But he has been a pastor.
Yeah.
And both of them agree that there's never this feeling of having arrived when you look at those.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. If if you have that feeling of like, oh yeah, I got all this down.
Yeah.
You might be in trouble.
Mm-hmm. But that's where you'd also, when looking at those requirements, you'd probably ask that person to not just examine themselves, though that is necessary. You'd probably want them to some extent, and probably to a great extent, involve their local church.
Right. Yeah. So, thinking about the book of 1 Timothy in general,
mm-hmm.
it's written by an apostle, the Apostle Paul.
Yep. Not a pastor, per se, but Apostle Paul.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yep.
Not that it matters for this, but...
Yeah, probably not for this.
Yeah. For another time.
Yes, maybe for another
time. Planting seeds for new episodes.
Yeah. Get someone on here talking about...
modern day apostles?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't be me.
I think there's some cults started that way.
Yeah. Where was I going to go with that? You might have to cut some of this out.
No, you're good. Involving the local church. And someone...
Right. Oh, we're looking at... This is written by the Apostle Paul.
Yep.
To a pastor by the name of Timothy.
Yep.
And he's not just writing out this nice little list. He's writing it to Timothy.
Yep.
To evaluate men.
Yeah, he wasn't telling Timothy, hey, this is what you need to be doing. Like, he's not telling Timothy, you need to be living up to these. That is included, but that's not the main point of him writing that list of, mm-hmm. of requirements.
Right. If you look at the beginning of the verse, it says, if anyone.
Yep.
So he's talking about somebody other than Timothy.
And hadn't he, in the previous chapter, told them to appoint elders in every town?
I think that's in Titus.
Oh, no. It probably is.
I believe that's in Titus.
Yeah, she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness. That's the end of the previous chapter. So that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And should pray. Yeah, probably. Bummer. That would have worked nicely. But it works better because this is the inspired version. Okay.
Yeah, so there is also the passage, I believe it's in Titus, where he instructs Titus to appoint elders in the churches in his area.
Mm-hmm. Like potentially plural elders in each church? Potentially.
Good question. Potentially.
Okay.
That I don't know for sure.
We might have to look at more passages than just that to figure out plurality of elders.
Right. But this passage is especially helpful for the church recognizing these kinds of things in men and affirming their qualification to be an elder.
And this is a general truth about all believers and an issue that all believers are hopefully pushing back against and working on, is that our view of self is in some way flawed, right? No believer perfectly views themselves the way God does. And so they need not only the Holy Spirit's help in changing their own heart and God's word to see how they actually measure up and don't measure up and who they actually are and how good or bad they actually are. But they also need a local church to help them see, hey, this is what you're doing well, this is what you're not doing well. They need someone that knows them, a local body that they're committed to say, oh yeah, you are doing this well, or no, you aren't doing this well. They need both of those things to understand, to be able to see themselves more accurately.
Yeah. And I mean, this is even a trope in movies and books where someone helps solve someone else's problem and then afterwards they quip, now why can't I seem to fix that in my own life?
Yeah.
Because why can't I see the issues in my own life? Yeah. Because we need that community of believers that sees us that sees us in a more accurate light than sometimes our heart deceives us.
Than often our heart deceives. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a key tenet I would put forward, a key reason for needing discipleship, continued discipleship your whole life.
Yeah. So, I mean, why are we talking about this topic in general? Partly, I think, because you and I have seen kind of, trying to think of how exactly to put this.
Okay.
Maybe not the best way that people are looking at ministry.
People looking and viewing the call to ministry or an aspiration to ministry wrongly, through the wrong lens. Hearing a lot of bad information about what scripture actually says about how God puts people into ministry.
Well, how about I give you kind of a little bit of an analogy.
Okay.
So a young man,
okay,
oftentimes going to camp, he hears this sermon about, oh, you need to be going into ministry.
Okay.
You need to
God
be
needs
making
people in ministry.
God needs people in ministry. You need to make a commitment to serve God. And so they make that commitment.
I'm going to dedicate my life to Christ.
Right.
And the way to do that is pastoral ministry.
It could be.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so
it's not the only way to do it, but that is a way to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So this this guy is like, okay, well, I'm kind of feeling this. I see this need. I am,
which is legitimate. There is a legitimate need for pastors.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, possibly even now more than ever.
Yeah, potentially.
But what does he do? He goes off to Bible college.
Not a bad step.
Not a bad step. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
But he goes off to Bible college. There's worse things he could go off to. He gets a piece of paper that says he's qualified to be a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least his view of the piece of paper.
Yes.
And that's a lot of people's view of the piece of paper.
And so then he starts getting his name out. He's maybe he starts doing some pulpit supply.
Yep.
And
not necessarily a bad thing.
No, pulpit supply by itself is not a bad thing.
Yes.
And then he finds some church that's desperate enough to hire a 23-year-old guy fresh out of Bible college.
Yep.
Or maybe he's a 25-year-old guy fresh out of seminary.
Which there are times when it's good for a church to hire a 25-year-old guy straight out of seminary, and God can use that in marvelous ways.
True. Yes. So what I'm not trying to do here is commit the sin of chronological snobbery.
Yes.
Standing in the lap of someone just so I can slap them in the face.
Mm-hmm.
We do recognize that ministry has been done in ways that we would not advocate now.
Correct.
However, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We probably wouldn't even be saved individuals if not for the ministries of people that have done it this way for so long.
Yeah. Imperfect people doing things in imperfect ways.
Right.
Yes. Broadly and speaking.
I'm not claiming to give you a perfect view of call to ministry even.
Yep.
There's definitely room for growth and maturation of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of a broad understanding of what I have seen, mm-hmm. what I've seen even in my own life.
And what you've seen peddled, for lack of a better term, I could think of a better term, peddled to people who think that mm-hmm. I'm going to call to be a pastor. Cool. Here mm-hmm. is the track you need to go down.
Right.
This is the way.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is a way, but is it the best, most faithful way? Is it the way that Scripture lays out? Well, clearly no. Just because something isn't spelled out in Scripture doesn't mean it's bad.
Right.
Just because Scripture is silent on a thing doesn't mean that thing is bad. However, Scripture is not silent on how people go from unbelievers to pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And Scripture is not silent on who goes from unbelievers to pastors and who should be involved in that process.
Right.
So that's where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm. And so most pastors we would talk to
mm-hmm.
wouldn't, in so many words, say, oh yeah, that's the way it should be done. But yeah. I think subconsciously,
that's what they expect.
Often end up expect. That's what they expect. I mean,
and I think even more so, that's what laymen expect.
Yes.
Which is correctly the people who hold the authority in mm-hmm. a church. The congregation has the authority, and so they are the ones that elect. And if that's what they are expecting, that's who they're going to elect.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they're going to choose as pastor, call to be their pastor.
Right. So they're going to say, oh, we need a pastor. Where do we look?
Call the seminary.
Yep. Call the seminary, call the college, see if they've got any fresh meat that they can send down to us.
Yeah. Which, again, to caveat, isn't necessarily a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the criteria we should use for saying, is this person called to be a pastor?
Right.
It's not a bad thing to look at, but mm-hmm. it's not where we should start.
Right. Let's see. So where are we at in all of this conversation?
So you had an analogy.
Right.
Of a person who goes, graduates seminary, and then is looking for a church. And that's like the normal way that mm-hmm. a lot of people have ended up in the pastorate somehow. It's also right. a way that a lot of people have ended up working regular jobs and being laymen in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure about what a call to ministry actually looks like, and asking right. questions like, wow, am I actually called to ministry? How do I know?
Well, and then we've got this nebulous thing called the call to ministry.
Yeah.
And
most people acknowledge it's not a phone call.
Right. But usually they, I think even in Dave Harvey's book, Am I Called? He kind of gives a three-chord understanding of a call to ministry.
Okay.
One of them is the internal call. One of them is external affirmation. And I should have written all of this down.
It's okay. If you claim to be the foremost authority, I would expect you have it all written down.
Yes. Well, I'm certainly not the foremost authority. The book Am I Called by Dave Harvey. There is...
Wait. Is that a Nine Marks book?
No, it is by
Throw Crossway. It out. We're not... I'm kidding.
Yes, it's put out by Crossway.
Okay.
Which I'm trying to think.
Nine Marks are published by Crossway, at least for
indeed.
The most part.
Yep. Do some of them end up being through Brodmann Holman?
You know, I think so. I think there are some series that aren't through Crossway, but don't quote me on that. You right. can quote me on thinking that, but not on saying it is true.
So this is Crossway,
mm-hmm.
but not Nine Marks, so it's only about 50% relevant
okay.
and helpful.
That's where I set my bar.
But it is
yeah.
helpful.
Yeah.
Certainly in examining yourself.
When I've gone through that book, it was a good jumping off point. It was a good conversation starter.
Yes.
We'd read a chapter. We'd talk about the chapter. And we'd say, okay, what do you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's on track? Do you think he's off track? Why do you think that? what scripture did he use? Did he use it correctly? Mm-hmm. What scripture do you think he should have brought in and should have used? And how should we think as a result of that? So,
yeah. And I think possibly one of the downfalls of Harvey's book is that he continues to use the word call.
Okay.
And when you do that, you kind of end up in this mushy, nebulous space. Like, okay, what kind of call is he talking about here?
Okay.
And where exactly do you find that in scripture? Which is why I think Jameson's The Path to Being a Pastor.
A Nine Marks book.
A Nine Marks book.
So there we go.
Like, there we go.
Yep. It's got that 80% bar now.
80% bar. Yep. It is definitely clarifying.
Okay.
It doesn't put up with this nebulous stuff about call. I mean, I've got a couple books here in front of me. It's a book. It has John MacArthur's name on it, but I think he wrote a couple chapters in it. Pastoral Ministry.
Okay.
From the John MacArthur Pastor's Library.
Oh yeah, yeah. That series.
It's definitely a helpful book. Do you guys have a goodness scale?
We do not.
Oh.
We just have what I found helpful in this book.
Right.
That's how we do book reviews. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You can rank it. You can make a scale. You're wearing a Thinkling shirt, so you can do whatever you want.
I am wearing a Thinkling shirt. Let's see. The Everyday Ecclesiology Goodness Scale.
Yeah.
It could possibly mirror the Thinklings podcast.
Maybe, but it's not certified.
Right. It's
like it doesn't have that TM afterwards. It's like the Amazon knockoff version that you get.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely carries less weight.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would probably... It is a niche book.
Mm-hmm.
But there is
maybe
it definitely
should,
ranks
maybe
on
you
the
should
goodness
give scale. We can have a who it's for and then rank it on how important it would be for that audience.
Hmm.
So give an intended audience and then a ranking for that audience.
Okay.
That's
so
how
it's
I'll rank a book.
Probably intended for those considering pastoral ministry or that are already in pastoral ministry. My guess is it's probably a textbook.
Okay.
For those in the pastoral program at Master's Seminary.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or Master's College.
It's nice to be able to write the books for your own seminary as textbooks. That could be a definite pro. Also could be a con, depending on if it's a bad seminary. But
sometimes there's just not books out there on the topic that you're looking for. A difficult one is assistant pastor books.
Or books on when should I leave a church.
Yeah.
There's
you
not
still
really.
Need to write that one.
I need to know enough about it first. Maybe one day when I'm old enough.
Yeah. And I think somehow this conversation probably ties into that at some point.
Probably.
But the John MacArthur book, written for pastors, it's probably a six, I would think. Six to seven.
So if you're someone considering pastoral ministry,
mm-hmm.
it'd be about a six?
It is. I'm not sure how exactly to describe this, but it is pretty mainstream. It's pretty provocative in some of the ways that that Master Seminary would be.
Makes sense.
It's definitely containing all of their particular soapboxes.
Yep.
So you just have to understand that.
Yeah.
But they do use the term calling, and they advocate the Spurgeonian idea of
care to explain that?
Yeah, I could.
You brought your book. I'll let you grab it.
I did bring my book.
So I think what you're getting at is the what maybe Harvey would have called the internal aspects of the call, Harvey might have been getting at like objective qualifications laid out in 2 Timothy, or was he talking about desire?
So it seems like most authors on this topic do talk about objective versus subjective and then internal versus external.
I mean, Spurgeon did, and so we can't disagree with Spurgeon.
Right. Except
right.
when we do.
Yes.
So